listening to The Bradshaw Boys, a podcast where three relatively grown men binge the iconic HBO series Sex and the City. So dust off those DVDs and grab yourself a white wine or even a Cosmopolitan and settle in. Take it away, boys.
Welcome to the Bradshaw Boys, a podcast where three guys are watching romantic comedies. I'm Corey Cavan.
I'm Kevin James Doyle.
Hello, my name's John Sieber.
And we've been a lot of places on our rom-com journey. Ooh. So far. We've done 10 movies, I think. Maybe
has
more.
Has it really been 10 movies?
It's been a lot already.
All I know is those 10 movies are horse shit compared to what we're getting into tonight.
That's right.
Or so you guys say.
Yeah. We'll get to that in a sec. We're doing the GOAT of rom-coms today.
This is, I think, the only athlete where there's like, people are trying to force like a LeBron Jordan conversation, but Jordan is the best basketball player of all time. And it's not like a real, but like the people are always at a loss for trying to figure out how they can say LeBron is better.
Okay.
Right. Mm-hmm. I feel like when it comes to rom-coms, this is Michael Jordan.
Really?
I mean, that is, I just don't think there's something that you could argue is better.
What is on the holy pantheon of rom-coms? Like if you are doing an all-star team of rom-coms, who are you looking at? Who are you scouting?
I mean, this movie.
This one's just an auto include?
Absolutely.
You've got mail?
You've got mail would be in there.
This is kind of like the, not only was it like the culmination, but it was like, it's what everything started after, but it couldn't even be topped. Like, so Bros is coming out soon, the Billy Eichner movie.
Oh yeah. We need to do that. We should watch that in theaters and then do a pod on it.
So like one of the reviews that I read of it said, like, basically we're referencing Nora Ephron, and this is her, this is before You've Got Mail. So it's the same person that wrote You've Got Mail.
Is this, what number movie is this for Nora Ephron?
This is her second script, I think. Let's pull it up.
I'm very curious. No.
In the meantime, we should say, if you haven't read the title of this episode, which I'm sure you have, the movie we're watching today is
When Harry
Met
Sally.
Yes.
This is
Meg Ryan, Billy Chris.
This is a movie that I know nothing about.
So that's crazy to me. You've never seen this. You don't know anything about the plot.
I don't know where it takes place. I don't even know who's in it until you guys just said Billy Crystal and Meg Ryan. I don't know. The only thing I know is that there's a line in it where he says, I want peppers for my paprikash, because that was the name of a fantasy football team that I was in a league with.
Wow.
Paprikash. Other than that, I'm flying completely blind.
I have seen this movie a few times. I wouldn't call myself, you know.
When do you watch this movie multiple times?
It's one of those movies that you see for the first time, you know, just with people that are like, you never seen When Harry Met Sally? It also feels like a movie you could watch like on the holidays. It's like a comfort movie that you just put in when you're watching with people, watch it on airplane.
I feel like this is like the Friends of movies. Like,
yeah.
It's the Sex in the City of movies in a way.
You just watch it multiple times.
Can you expand on that analogy? Like, how is it the Friends of movies?
It's like,
do people put this on like just as a background movie a lot nowadays?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it's like a good, I meant the show Friends, but it's like this show is like a good friend to people.
Yeah.
Because from what I haven't seen it in years, but it's like, it is a will they, won't they movie.
Okay.
And it's set in New York in the fall. Well, over different point, but it's like, it's New York porn. It's like, it has the quality of like friendship and romance and the expectation of like, who is the one?
Yeah.
And there's another element that they didn't write it with it. But there's like, it basically becomes this tiny little story about these two people, but the way that they make it, it makes it about, I think maybe the seminal story of like, how do you find love in the modern world?
Yeah.
And so many beautiful stories of that, so that you'll see the way they use it. But, I just think it's like, and it's a feel good movie. Like, it's clearly influenced by like Woody Allen.
Yeah.
But his movies are all like, they break up or like, I'm going to, you know, marry my daughter, weird stuff like that.
Yeah.
But this has like the happy, it's like it's like it got a note from someone that's like, you know, instead of the sad ending, like it has a Hollywood ending.
Right.
Which, what are some of the stats about this movie? When was it written?
Okay.
When
so
did it take place.
Well, one thing about the, what we're talking about like what the ethos of this movie is, the film addresses, but fails to resolve questions along the lines of, can men and women ever just be friends? And that whole question of like, can you have a best friend that's a woman if you're a man and you're both, you know, you're both straight, you know, what it like, and vice versa. It revolves around that a ton. Mm-hmm. And the will they, won't they, like Kevin said, it's very much like, we've wanted these two people in the friend group to get together forever.
Yeah.
It's that movie to a T,
okay,
over the long game. And then it also is things about long-term relationships, long-term couples.
Ooh, interesting. Ideas for the film began when Rob Reiner divorced Penny Marshall.
I saw that.
Penny Marshall, A League of Their Own.
Okay.
She's a director, writer-director.
And she was in Laverne and Shirley. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on, guys.
An interview Efron conducted with Reiner provided the basis for Harry. Sally was based on Efron and some of her friends. Crystal came on board and made his own contributions to the screenplay, making Harry funnier. Yeah, arguably. I'm totally kidding. Efron supplied the structure of the film with much of the dialogue based on a real life friendship with Reiner and Crystal. So it has like, yeah, you can kind of, I didn't know that. I just thought she wrote it, but it's one of those old Hollywood type things that it's like, okay, we got the two big people. Like it's kind of like a team movie.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
That we're like, we're going to make this like a big, I think they knew it was going to be a big movie.
Yeah, I think so.
Cause Rob Reiner was coming off some big success.
Yeah.
Also, when you look at the poster, one thing that's interesting.
Can I see the poster?
This is what's interesting about the film is they didn't make them normal sized people. They're huge.
Yeah. They're like Titans from
Attack on Titan.
Attack on Titan.
Yeah. Cause there's like the skyline and then you guys can't see this, but look at the poster and then Meg Ryan and Billy Crystal are both. I mean, if those are the buildings, then they must have been.
They're colossal. They're colossal.
4,000 to 5,000 feet tall. And that was just never done in movies before.
I don't know Billy Crystal's actual penis size, but in this, it's bigger than the Empire State Building.
Yeah, which she's like, well, that's a plus, but also like you're kind of obnoxious at times.
Yeah,
and also that means that she has a giant gaping vagina.
Yeah,
she's also very big.
She's got a Central Park vagina.
Exactly.
Central.
Meaning it's
really just the reservoir. If you think about it that way.
Yeah.
Are they the exact same height?
No, this is just the poster. Right, we're getting lost in right now.
So
the poster does have them giant over the city, which actually is kind of with the way the movie goes. It's like, it is like they're in New York, but their relationship towers over everything.
Mm-hmm. All right. So I wanted to get some of the facts.
1989. 1989. Nora Ethron's fourth or fifth movie that she wrote.
Is it set place in 1989?
I think so. Yeah,
present day.
It's a present day movie.
Yeah.
So New York in 1989, we're like looking at like a little bit grit, like a lot grittier than the New York of today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's no cell phones. There's no computers. Mm-hmm. Everyday computer use probably doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're not getting any of your shit delivered. You're going to like local stores for everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, like even like Starbucks isn't around.
Oh, actually, hold on. Set in 1977. Well, not true. The movie takes place over a long period of time. So it starts in 77, then ends up in 89.
So this is like a really different New York than we even saw in Sex and the City. New York today is different than that existed in Sex and the City. And this New York is even going to be.
Dude, New York today is different than when we moved here. Uber came out while we lived here.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Like I remember.
Guys, YouTube came out when I moved here.
Dude,
this is crazy.
It's pretty wild.
Good TED Talk for you. Hi, I'm Kevin. Close your eyes for a second. Imagine trying to get across the Brooklyn Bridge in your own car.
Well, they must take cabs in this. They're still yellow cabs, but you know, it is a different time. And I know when like, was it Ben Weber? One of the people told us, or no, I think it was Candace Bushnell was just talking about when you heard about parties.
Yeah.
You had to go to be in right. certain places.
Right.
And that was like a huge difference.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I think setting a movie in New York, we talked about this with the Chicago movie, like it ups the romanticism.
Totally.
And then the season, it ups the romanticism yeah. depending on the season. And without this, she wouldn't have written You've Got Mail.
This is interesting. Before we watch it, we were just talking about where it came from. And you mentioned that Reiner and Penny Marshall got divorced. It said in 1984, Rob Reiner, producer Andy Scheinman, and Nora Ephron met over lunch at the Russian Tea Room in New York City. Already like very New York, totally. Very like storybook New York.
Russian Tea Rooms 54th.
Somewhere. Yeah. I think 54th yeah. to Midtown.
Yeah.
They met to discuss that. Reiner pitched an idea, Nora Ephron rejected it. So they did a second meeting and that turned into a long discussion about Rob Reiner and, Scheinman, their lives as single men and what it was like to be single. And Rob Reiner was talking about being single and divorced and how he was trying to date. And it was just terrible and confusing and didn't like it. And he said he had always wanted to do a movie about two people who become friends and do not have sex because they know it will ruin their relationship. Whoa. But then they have sex anyway. And then Nora Ephron liked that. And then he got a studio deal and then they decided to make the movie. So it kind of comes from it's interesting that it comes from a thing where it's already people talking about yeah. relationships and talking about, you know, that kind of like a will they, won't they? Mm-hmm. And then it spawned that.
I'm very excited. Should we dive in?
Yeah. Can I just give you one little impressive thing?
Give us the facts.
Yeah.
Hit us right, I'm going to skip one movie, but these are all within, this is once a year. Spinal Tap 84. Then mm-hmm. this movie, The Sure Thing. I was going to say, okay. Spinal Tap 84, 86, Stand By Me.
Jeez. Already. Career already. Mm-hmm. Incredible.
87, Princess Bride. 89, When Harry Met Sally. 90, Misery.
Jeez.
92, Few Good Men.
That's insane.
Jeez. Like range too.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. That is absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah. So, and this is the rom-com of it all.
Ah, I can't wait. Let's go check it out.
All right. Let's go watch When Harry Met Sally.
When the Bradshaw Boys watched When Harry Met Sally.
Take us away.
When Harry Met Sally. Directed by Rob Reiner. In 1977, college graduates Harry Burns, played by Billy Crystal, and Sally Albright, played by Meg Ryan, share a contentious car ride from Chicago to New York, during which they argue about whether men and women can ever truly be strictly platonic friends. 10 years later, Harry and Sally meet again at a bookstore, and in the company of their respective best friends, Jess, played by Bruno Kirby, and Marie, played by Carrie Fisher, attempt to stay friends without sex becoming an issue between them. And now, back to the boy.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
Keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros. Two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude, stop with the voice. Just keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
And we're back.
Welcome back.
The first
Harry
part.
Heads.
Oh, you say Harry Dads?
Harry Heads.
Harry Heads. Heads.
Harry's.
Harry Heads and Sally Sacks.
The Sally Sacks.
Welcome back.
Do you, Sally Sacks.
Yeah. Sally, yeah.
Sally.
Like a sad sack. Oh, Sally sack. Yeah.
Is it me or are those two different characters coming from different perspectives and butting heads?
Yeah, they are. Let's talk about the first third. We stopped at minute like 32, 35.
They had just seen each other in the bookstore and
10 years after they first met each other
and are having like dinner.
Yeah.
Currently.
Okay.
Yeah.
And yeah. Lots has happened. 10 years has happened. Careers have been made. Divorces have happened.
We could tell it was the end of Act One because it was just like conflict. How blah, blah, blah. And then they run in. She's like really sad. And then it ended right into the next scene where they're just like, so how have you been? You know,
they're out walking. We just finished dinner and they're like out walking.
Yeah. And it's just, I guess it's funny the structure that we made for this podcast because it's kind of a fun game to be like, okay. And you can just tell exactly that it's like that chapter, they're both divorced, or one's divorced, one's left, and now they're in a new place.
Yeah.
It was cool.
Yeah. Someone want to wrap up what's happened so far?
Yeah. I'll take a stab at it.
Right,
so there's like a lot of interstitiaries. Is that the right word?
Interstitials.
It's a lot like season one of Sex and the City. Yeah.
Dude.
One and two.
Could you imagine if one of those old guys was a Capote Duncan?
That'd be great.
Or a Rich Stein.
That'd be awesome.
The old couples talking kind of about sharing about their relationship stories, how they met, why they met. You guys told me to pay attention because they're really important. And so I have been paying really close attention to those. Mm-hmm. But the story starts in 1977.
There we were.
In University of Chicago.
Yep.
We have a Harry making out with Deborah Reese, I believe.
Yeah, a real hottie.
Real hottie. Mm-hmm. And Deborah's friend, Sally, is driving to New York and Harry goes with her. Very unclear as to like why he's leaving too. Is he from New York possibly?
Or maybe it's that he has a job in New York.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did you get jobs in other cities when you were like,
I think it was like
you send a mail,
telephone and like mail and stuff like that.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean,
maybe you fly up and have an interview.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting because I think University of Chicago does have a big politics school. Their school of politics is like pretty renowned, I think.
Windy City.
And then she just says he hitches a ride with her.
Right.
No.
He spits a seeded grape right into her window.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like doesn't even wipe it down. He's just like, I'll just roll down the window. Kevin brought up a great point. Who's eating seeded grapes?
I mean, most grapes now are bred to not have seeds.
Yeah, time.
Although the big purple grapes still do have seeds.
Are you talking about
what they're called?
Big purple grapes.
Yeah. No. He's talking about like the industry that it's like they control all of it. Big purple grapes.
Yeah.
All these indie farmers are able to do seedless.
Yeah.
But big purple grape.
They're just taking the seeds from the little guy. And he is just like such a typical college dude. Mm-hmm. He's just like dirty. He obviously can't get his ride.
Mm-hmm.
He can't get a ride. He's like, oh, can I get a ride? I'm spitting and he's making out with the girl. And he's like, here's the way life is. He's the ultimate mansplainer.
Yeah.
He's just the ultimate. He just won't shut up.
Sally Mansplainer.
Yeah.
This movie called.
Yeah.
Harry Mansplains Sally.
Yeah.
Totally.
They're just the thesis of the movie comes up on the car ride, which is
that men and women cannot be friends. Men will only think about sex. And if it's out there, then they can't be friends. Mm-hmm. They either have to have sex or, they can't be friends because the woman will know that that's all the man is thinking about.
Yeah. And she's like, what?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, that's the way it is.
But
well, then she also says like, what about the unattractive ones? And he's like, oh, you want to nail them too.
You want to
nail them. Yeah.
He's also very cynical. He's not like I think the theme of the movie is that he's softening because he's very like, very much like the original emo.
Yeah.
Person.
Yeah.
Where he's like, I read the last page of the book first in case I die. I'll know how it ends. So I'm going to be ready for it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There is like, they're definitely doing a good job at being like kind of nailing like the young college kid. Like he's what does he say? Dark? It's like, you're not as dark as me.
Yeah.
I'm always like this.
Yeah. It contrasts with her character, which I think is eternally hopeful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm going to find love. I believe in love. Like, men and women can be friends. Like, all these kind of beliefs that, like, maybe a young person who's never experienced the raw reality of life before.
Mm-hmm. And then, yeah. And then one of the other differences along with that, that's expressed with, is that he, when they order their food, he just like orders a burger. He's eating grapes, spitting, and then he orders a burger, shoves it down his face. And she's very specific with her order.
Very particular.
This on the side, blah, blah, blah. And so it's like,
does the way she order remind you of anyone? Can we say at the count of three and see if we say the same person?
One, two, three.
Harlan Alford, friend of the pod.
Friend of the pod.
That's really funny. I don't think I've had experience with how he orders.
He orders just like her.
Hamburger. Really? No cheese, no tomato, no onion, just a burger.
Put the ketchup on the side in a ramekin. I don't want any ketchup touching the fries. If they are touching the fries, the fries need to be well done, crispy, lightly salted.
Medium rare, side of coleslaw in a separate cup. It's like, I'm just like, just eat shut up and eat your food.
Dude, one time I was with him and he ordered three burratas. And each one had different instructions.
Oh my gosh.
He's like, to start, I want three burratas. The first one I want immediately. The second one, I want you to wait 5 minutes after you take the first plate away. And the third one, after I start eating the main course.
Three burratas could bankrupt you in New York City. Oh, that's not cheap.
Dude, we're in the Hamptons.
Oh my gosh.
Speaking of money though, he orders like a billionaire, but he doesn't have the money.
Yeah.
He orders like someone who's really rich that needs this. Here's how things are going to be. But then they're like,
never finishes food. So if you're doing like a group pay with Harlan, you got to make sure you're
separated.
Yeah, separated.
Yeah. Wait, what do you mean?
Like, he never finishes his food either. And he'll just be like, for appetizers, we'll take three of everything.
Oh my God.
Well, that's like, this is such a rabbit trail that we need to end, but I've experienced that too. He did that when we ordered Pizzamoto for the first time. And then he insisted that we get the meatballs. The
meatballs,
And then it bumped up the check average like way more. And then after we were like, probably could have the meatballs.
Yeah.
No, anyway.
That's just him.
But and yeah, that's how,
Sally too.
That's Sally.
Well, it's funny because those sort of quirks.
Yeah.
That you have in a friend, it's like, that'd be a perfect thing to be like it's so pronounced in his personality.
Yeah. But
that it's like, this would be great for a movie.
Based off of Nora Ephron. I wonder if she's like a really particular person too. I wonder if it's like something that she carries.
Well, and I think the metaphor for it that they're setting up is like, he is cynical and is going to go on a journey towards opening his heart. And she is like, I'm in control.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she's going to have to release control and be like, you know, just because you order your food this way doesn't mean that things are always going to work out.
Right.
You know? Yeah. And I think that in movies, you have so little time to do that, you know?
Totally.
Yeah.
So then they kind of shake hands. He removes his like dirty laundry and baseball bat from the car. Mm-hmm. And they're in like Washington Square Park, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, all right, well, see you later. Have a good life.
Yeah.
And they just like, they separate.
When I did my walking tours of New York, the Washington Arch, people would be like, this is from When Harry Met Sally.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
you'd be like, no, this is from France.
Yeah. This is from France. We fucking copied off France.
Yeah, there you go.
And we're like, we'll have the same thing, but smaller. It was actually made of wood, by the way.
Wait, is that a smaller version of the Arc de Triomphe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what it was based on.
I did not know that.
It was made out of wood and plaster, and it was only supposed to be up for 1 year.
Wait, really?
To commemorate the 100th year anniversary of the founding of the United States in 1789.
Wow.
And then they liked it so much, they made a permanent version.
Out of stone?
The United States was founded in 1689?
That's when the war ended and we were finally a country. 1776 is when we started the war. Mm.
Wait, so then they built that in 1879?
1889.
Got it.
Yeah. And the guy that designed it got murdered.
What?
Dude, the guy that designed it, Harry Burns. It's a great story. And this has to do with Harry Met Sally, because it has to do with love. Mm-hmm. So this guy, I forget his name, Stanford White, he designed it.
Stanford Blatch White.
And
he was wearing like a purple bow tie.
And he was just like, he's like, I don't know. I'm trying to date, but nobody likes me. I built this.
I guess arc. I'll just erect an arc. So, I'm erect right now.
So he had this new girlfriend that became like kind of
boyfriend.
If it's Stanford.
Right.
And she was like really young. She's a showgirl. He's like, I want to date you. So then there's like a picture of her just being like pouty lips. And that was like porn back at the time. Mm-hmm. So it was literally.
Can you imagine?
Yeah. She became like a sex symbol just from like one picture of her being like kind of seductive looking. You look at it now, you're like, this is stupid. So then he breaks up with her. And since she was kind of like a modern celebrity, she was kind of like soiled. And she got married to this other guy who was kind of crazy. And he just like couldn't get over that this is years later. He couldn't get over that, like, this guy was with his wife.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he was at a show where he, like, normally picks up girls. And this guy, Harry K. Thaw, I think, he just, like, walked into the show, walked down in front of, like, all of, like, New York's elite and just, like, blew his head off.
Oh, my gosh.
In the middle of the show. Yeah.
Did he get in trouble or was he was with my wife.
Are you ready? He pled insanity and got off.
Yeah.
Was that the first ever like insanity?
It was one of them. One of the first like insanity pleas. And then he just got off. He's like, he had sex with my wife before I married her. And like, it kind of.
Back then that was like enough to justify an honor kill.
Yeah. Yeah. When the judge heard that was like, oh my gosh, dude.
Bring the body back out. We'll shoot it again.
Yeah.
What?
Are you fucking serious?
Wow.
Dude. Yeah. So
that is very relevant to Harry Met Sally.
That is because Harry's marriage, mm-hmm. Where are we in the recap?
They just said goodbye to each other. So we're flash forwarding now to the airplane.
Flash forward to the airplane.
To the
airport.
Then,
yeah. So then she's at the airport making out with some guy.
Oh, I didn't get it. I guess he was making out the first time. She was making out the second.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
I see what you did there.
Yeah. So then it starts with her making out.
But he recognizes.
He's walking through the airport.
He recognizes the blonde-haired chap that she's making out with.
Yeah, because they live in the same building.
I'm sorry to say, that blonde-haired chap was not Hollywood material. It's just so funny. You see, some of these people are just like, we're so used to how attractive everyone is now. And you just did not have to be as good looking as you have to be now to be in movies.
Yeah. It's also, that's true. It's also, people are so striking in like Marvel movies and stuff like that. Yeah, totally. Yeah. It's also that we've talked about in this movie and so many other movies back then, everyone just looks, people just are styled younger now.
Yeah.
And like, I guarantee the guy that she was making, they were supposed to be in their mid-20s.
Well, even Meg Ryan, she has like a yellow tooth. She has like a, like.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah, she just has a tooth, which is normal. She has normal teeth. She has good, normal teeth.
Right.
But now, like, I mean, have you seen Chris Rock's teeth? Like, he looks like, it's like he got fake teeth. And Larry David, like all those people, even if you're a comedian or like regular looking person.
Yeah.
Chris Rock's a good looking guy. But it's like you get big porcelain teeth and then you. And back, look at Meg Ryan's teeth. She has normal, attractive woman teeth.
In When Harry Met Sally.
In When Harry Met Sally.
But not Hollywood teeth.
Not Hollywood teeth. Because I don't think they were common yet.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah. So she's making out with normal guy. And then Harry ends up seeing them, recognizing that guy, not recognizing her.
Yeah.
And she's like, he was terrible. And then brings up the question, like, he hit on me and then he said, he made a pass at me. And then he said that men and women can never be friends.
Yeah.
And then her boyfriend keeps asking what happened.
And he's like, yeah. And then does he agree? He doesn't have,
no, she's like, can men and women be friends? Do you have any female friends? Or he's like, yeah, of course. And she's like, do you have any female friends? And he's like, no.
Yeah.
And then Harry ends up recognizing her on the plane.
Right.
And then they have a whole conversation. Harry's like still, he's kind of like on top
of front of her to switch spots.
Yeah.
Power move.
Yeah, totally.
Big power move. He's one of the baldest people I've ever seen.
Who, the guy beside her?
Yeah. He really is. He's more bald than the guy on Barry, who is like, Barry.
Yeah.
Like,
well, this is, Kevin and I talked about this in a podcast one time, but bald is not someone who is no hair.
Yeah.
What is it?
You have to have the crown. You have to have the crown to be bald.
Oh, so you have to have,
you have to have the ring of hair around.
Ring around, because it's almost, it's like dark matter. Like you can't see dude, that
Neil deGrasse Tyson is listening to the pod. He's the only person who's like, yeah, go on, mm-hmm, go on. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The only way that you can see baldness is through the juxtaposition of hair.
Yeah.
And this guy has it in spades.
Yeah.
He just has a grown out, like he has enough hair. You can like comb it out.
Dude, I think that was like a thing back then.
I know
it was. Yeah.
Yeah. It's now,
which
like,
was, which makes sense that like the toupee was like such a prominent feature in culture back then.
Yeah.
Cause like people tried to style their crown hair.
Right.
And yeah.
Like, it was like really important.
Like now people shave it down and grow facial hair.
Yeah.
They shave it down and they grow like a goatee or grow like a long beard.
Yeah. And they're just like, yeah, rather than look bald, I'll just look like I'm a white supremacist. That's a better solution.
Absolutely.
But yeah, dude, this dude is hella bald.
He really was. He like looked like another actor, but I forgot who. He was a very bald person.
Yeah.
And but so nice.
It was so nice. And Billy Crystal takes advantage of that. Says scram. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Then they start flirting on the plane.
Well, kind of flirting. Not really. They talk about their lives.
Yeah.
And he's picking at her again.
Yeah.
And he's in his smug phase.
He's nagging.
He's nagging her. He is, for sure. And he's talking about how he's getting married to this girl, and how talks about his job and stuff. She, I guess before they switch, she does another aggressive tomato juice order. She like does a Harlan Alfred order.
Mm. Yeah.
But yeah, then they just talk about it. And then he does he ask her to get a meal with him?
Yeah. They're in like the moving walkway and he moves up to her and he's like, let's go get dinner. And she's like, well, I thought you said friends, like men and women can be friends. He's
right.
Like, it's amended if they both are in relationships.
Yeah.
You're dating Joe and I'm getting married. He's like, but then it's going to, and he does this whole like explanation thing again. And she's like, you know what? I'm going to stop you right there. I have a good life.
Yeah.
And that's that.
Scene. Yeah.
Then 5 years later, she is at the Central Park.
Chat and chew.
Yep.
Chat and chew
at the Central Park Boathouse Cafe.
He's in the background, Big and Carrie are just falling in the water. Yeah,
that's totally the exact same place.
Yeah.
And where Big fell in the water.
Yeah.
And iconic. And they're doing a chat and chew.
Her, is it called the Boathouse?
Boathouse Cafe.
Yeah. Also, Carrie Fisher's there.
Uh-huh.
Princess Leia.
Mm-hmm.
Famous pill addict.
Mm.
She had a whole show about it.
Also,
Sex and the City.
She plays Carrie Fisher in Sex and the City.
Mm-hmm.
And then another actress, and they're just doing, I mean, that is almost, when I was watching that scene, they're just talking about men and they're talking about marriage and divorce and available men in New York.
She got a Rolodex.
She has a Rolodex, which is amazing.
So sad.
But I was watching that scene and I was like, the original pitch meeting, the original script and pitch meeting for Sex and the City is that scene.
100%.
Like, I wonder if they even, like, if you had a pitch deck or something, if they had screenshots or showed that thing. And they're
I bet they did.
Because it is, that is Sex and the City.
Mm-hmm.
It's just three people with three different perspectives. Only they, you know, they have a fourth but in Sex and the City. But it's like, they all three are like, this and this. And there's a funny moment where she's saying like she broke up with the guy, right? And then Carrie Fisher's like, oh, he's available?
Yeah.
Like,
and she earmarks the Rolodex.
Yeah.
Classic Samantha.
Classic Samantha, just trying to get in there.
And I guess like Meg Ryan would be a Charlotte.
Meg Ryan is a Charlotte.
Yeah. She seems like a Charlotte. She's very hopeful. Yeah.
Yeah. Even with her order, the way she would order, that'd be a Charlotte thing.
Yeah.
Who's Harry? Aiden? No. Steve?
No.
Well, he's changing a lot too. Like, we end up seeing him change already.
Yeah.
He's like, he
starts as a Richard. He's a Richard with Steve Rising.
Wait, why is he a Richard?
I mean, he's just kind of obnoxious and full of himself.
Really like, tan and has a gap in his teeth.
Did you see Richard like chewing a seed and like spitting it out and missing and going against the
window? Well, I don't think that there is an archetype for Harry in the Sex and the City universe because he's going to have all the archetypes of a person that you shouldn't go on a second date with.
Mm.
You know?
He would be, if Brody in the Duncan? Sex and the City universe, he would just be a grape spitting guy.
Yeah.
And you would never see him again.
Yeah. Like she's building up this case against this guy because he is like young and dumb and full of, just kidding. That is true. He's getting rid of some of it though. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You're talking about cum.
Sorry. I love the tease out that's so obvious. And you're like, are you tracking with me? Yeah.
Yeah. And he's so, I guess he's going to turn into maybe a Steve, but he's not a puppy dog. He's not nice. I don't know if there's the exact copy of him.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
He is an archetype of a guy though right now.
But his character right now just is going through a divorce. He's talking about it at the
Giants game,
which is like such a funny scene when they keep doing the wave. Mm-hmm. Like talk about this awful problem. It's a really funny scene.
And he's getting divorced and it's basically like, well, he kind of got married just out of convenience, right? Just
yeah. Like, on the plane, he's like, you know, I'm sick of dating. I want someone to have a safe lunch with and then like a nice dinner with and like all this. And like,
he's settling.
He's totally settling in.
Red flag.
Mm-hmm.
And then she cheats on him.
Yeah. She says that she was like, I think he says something about like us being in love. And she's like, I don't know if I ever loved you.
Yeah.
And then she wants a trial separation. She just feels trapped and she doesn't believe in marriage anymore or anything. And then she's sleeping with some other guy.
Mm.
Terrible.
So now he's becoming truly. Yeah. He's like, it's weird because like that would make you a harder person and a more negative person. But in a way it's doing the opposite effect on him.
I think it's probably making him reckon with life because he's like,
Were you really as negative and dark as you thought?
Or are you negative and dark? And then something comes and like shakes your world up and kind of he was probably doing all that stuff to compensate feelings wise, mm-hmm. but didn't realize it. You know, he was just being really egotistical.
Yeah.
And then when you think you're running the show and then life just like knocks you apart, it's like you have two choices. One is to become bitter or one is to just really take it and then change.
Yeah.
I think he's like actually kind of just like, yeah, I don't know. Stuff sucks, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So then she's at the bookstore with Carrie Fisher looking through very 2022 feeling books.
Mm-hmm.
Like I have some over there that have almost that exact same.
You have that. Yeah. That red one or that red and white, that red title with the white.
The Power Broker.
Power Broker, yeah.
Yeah, those aesthetics. You know who brought that aesthetic back for books?
Lena Dunham.
Lena Dunham.
Yeah, Lena Dunham.
Yeah, because it's...
Who are you saying?
Jonathan Safran Foer kind of has like a little bit of that. Everything is illuminated, extremely loud and incredibly close.
Okay.
But yeah, it's all over the place now.
Yeah.
Or there's like a mirage of color. Like 2 years ago... There was like an aesthetic that every single book had. It was like a kaleidoscope of colors.
Yeah. Now there's
a book, by the way.
I think, but I don't know. Like, I think I was trying to look for, but I think that's different than what we were seeing.
Okay. Yeah,
I think what we were seeing is the
look up the
Lena Dunham book. Yeah. I know what you're saying.
It's totally that. It's 1989 aesthetic.
Let me see.
And all of the books that are all around are all just like about love.
Yep.
Yeah.
You're right.
Not that kind of girl.
Yeah.
All the books are about like every single title is about love, men, women.
Yeah. Yeah. They're in like the self-help relationship section.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's so crazy because now you just have podcasts for that.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah.
And totally. Instagram feeds.
Yeah.
You're true. Welcome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, almost this whole movie is what sex and dating, like
it's just so crazy to think like if you wanted to like get some like help or like hear a different perspective, you had to like get up, get off the couch, go to a bookstore, mm-hmm. be with around people, look through the bookstore, pick out a book, take the subway home. And now it's just like, you can open your phone and mm-hmm. either have something delivered mm-hmm. or just like find information or a podcast on your phone. Mm-hmm. All while continuing to isolate yourself in your bedroom. Mm-hmm. Like, man, that's crazy.
What the fuck? Yeah, it is crazy.
Like, these little pieces of technology are bad for society.
Yeah.
I mean,
just having a little realization.
No, I mean, the amount of people, there's some people that just are not around people that much. Like, I'm a sociable person. We're all kind of sociable people. So I feel like we make it a point to be around.
You got a desert island on your shirt.
Dude.
That says sociable loud and clear.
This right here is, I'm out to have fun. Yeah. I'm fun guy.
Is that a Tommy?
No, I can't afford Tommy Bahama, dude.
This is denim and flower.
Yeah, TJ Maxx.
Really?
Yeah, I'm a Maxinista,
dude.
I go to TJ Maxx, and I do exactly what Billy Crystal. I just go around and peruse just to hit on ladies.
Have you ever hit on a lady at TJ Maxx?
No, Marshalls usually. Prettier women. No.
Nordstrom's the rack.
Yeah, Nordstrom's the rack. I mean, that's out of my price range, but yeah, I mean. Dude, going to hang out at a bookstore, dude, that's like, you can fall in love with 50 people.
I know.
Still can.
I personally think like a great first date, hear mm-hmm. me out, never did this. You go to a bookstore.
Yep.
And you guys, it might not be a good first date, but like second date. Mm-hmm. And you have to go get, you walk in with the person, you have to go get like 5 or 10 books and then like bring them back and like share why you got those books.
That's a very
it may be a book that you read, it may be a book that you want to read, it may be a book that has a cool cover. Mm. I also just love books.
I was gonna say that I think is a cool game, and it also sounds like something for someone who really loves books.
I love books.
I can't think of a book.
So yeah, we're left with them.
They're
both going through, their relationships are no longer where they thought they'd be.
Yeah.
10 years in a meeting, 10 years out of college, professionals, they have careers, and they're experiencing like the first wave of heartbreak and loss mm-hmm. after probably as adults. Like, I feel like, like a lot of people get married right out of college. And then like 6-7 years later, you start having the friends who are going through divorces and separations and things.
Well, like that. I would say, I was just having a conversation with someone about this today. I would say that's been our experience. I think all three of us had a lot of people get married right out of college, mm-hmm. but I don't think that's necessarily everyone's experience.
Would you say that was the experience of the average person in like 89?
Possibly. People definitely get married later now.
And in New York and where we are.
Yeah.
People like just don't get married now a lot.
Yeah, that's
true. The rates of people just not getting married.
Yeah, that's also true. But I think back then, I don't know, it'd be interesting to see, but I think you're right. Like you are, as you, I guess, how old are they at this point? Early 30s? She's 31 at this point in the movie. She said she's 31 and she said that the clock doesn't start ticking in a woman until she's 36.
Ah.
So, but yeah, I do think they're probably experiencing more divorce. I mean, he's getting divorced. Mm-hmm. But I think the other thing that is interesting in this point is not only they're at that point in their life, but what's important for this movie is they're also at a point where the first two times you've seen him, he's like, well, good to see you. And she's like, and they're like, have a good life. And they come back together. This time it happens again in the bookstore. And he's like, they talk about like, well, you know, good to see you. And like smash cut to they're at dinner together talking about relationships. So they've decided to be friends.
Yeah.
Well, so and that one, she's really sad. And then right when we ended it, it's cool the way a lot of the transitions in this, like the scene is the same, but it's in a different location. So they're mm-hmm. just picking up with the, mm-hmm. and he's just like, and then they're walking and talk. So it's like, even where we just ended is like, they're not even just sharing their heart. Now they're just like, like getting chipper.
Yeah. They've kind of begun the will they won't they now.
Yeah.
And they've started their friendship.
Yeah.
And kind of asking the question, can men and women be friends or not?
Yeah. And you know, this whole time through all these years, Crystal's just like, dude, I want to bang that one girl.
Dude, you were commenting on Crystal's hair. Can you discuss that a little bit?
Well, just like that, the no pomade, no hairspray, just like
pure puff.
Just pure puff.
Pure
that,
puff.
That 1989 puff.
Mm-hmm.
Seinfeld had it.
Seinfeld had it. Who else had it? I mean, just people back then, just like.
I'm getting it.
Long
getting
hair.
Full on.
And they you just
comb
take,
back.
You just take a brush.
Like a really thick brush that kind of just poofs your hair out.
And you just go. And then you
I would
even
say like maybe it was like an inch and a half long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you just get that puff.
Blow dry it. Probably
blow dry it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, and John, you made a good thing. You said it's like the microphone.
It's
top.
The, yeah, it is. It is the top of a
it's
microphone.
Top of a microphone. It's yeah. The foamy top of a microphone.
And
head.
You wouldn't, what's crazy is now you, even back then, now it'd be like, I don't want any puff. Those people back, they wanted extra puff.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Like Seinfeld. His puff was just crazy.
Yeah,
I want all puff. The poof in my puff.
Were Seinfeld and Crystal, they're contemporaries, right?
Crystal was a little older and ahead okay. of him because Crystal hosted SNL or okay. was on SNL.
Was he the first host ever?
No.
The first person to have a puff?
Yeah, was he? He's kind of the most iconic puff. And then Seinfeld took the puff away.
That's it, yeah.
Who's the puff? And then there we had like a Puff Daddy who didn't have a puff.
Puff Daddy didn't have a puff, name. But he was paying like tribute to the puff.
And then we went
Carlin was the first SNL host.
Oh, wow.
And then we went to Japan. We hung out with the Powder Puff Girls for a little bit.
Puff Girls.
Someone needs to reclaim the puff.
Yeah.
Well, I saw Billy Crystal's hair. I said, I can do better than that. I want more. That's a good. I want more puff. So, all right. So here's a question.
Wow.
Single men, single women.
Mm-hmm.
Can they be friends?
Yes. All right. Thank you guys.
All right. Thanks for listening.
All right. So one of the interesting things I forgot about the movie basically is that you're watching, it's not a will they, won't they over the course of, it's like a life movie. So
yeah, that's true.
So it's like the it'd be interesting if it's like, because of course you can in this one short period of time, but he's asking it back when he's like super horny and super like, blah, 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 and then
when he was full of,
you know,
full of puff. Puff.
Yeah. Full of puff. rough, tough and full of puff.
That's why if his hair, if,
you think after he comes, his hair flattens out?
That's what I was thinking. That's what I was thinking. It's like his follicles are like bursting out.
And then it just like flattens.
It just looks like he's just gotten out of the shower.
His whole head just withers in on itself.
You need to jerk off. So he does. His hair just like falls flat. Okay, so I think like...
Yeah, it's their version of the taxi light being on. Talk about that in Sex and the City. I'm ready, baby. Extra puffy.
Extra puff. You're ready to go. So I guess.
I mean, the women were puffing their hair back then, too.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, she had the Farrah Fawcett.
Farrah Fawcett flyaways. Thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Because totally. When was that? That poster was.
Wait, which poster?
The
Farrah Fawcett, Fawcett one?
Nipple poster.
What?
It's the most famous poster of all time, Colin.
You make these claims.
You do make. You do
I'm
make.
Not, like,
it was the, it was
sure.
the highest sold poster ever, and it's right. Farrah Fawcett.
Right. Is that true?
Because she had a nipple. Yeah, at the time. Yeah.
All right.
Wait, is that true?
Yeah.
Highest sold poster. It's going to be like a Pokemon poster.
Well, yeah, maybe now. I'm.
Well, you just said all time. You said that you need to say at the time.
No, he said at the time. He did say that.
Highest sold poster. It's going to be Pikachu.
I feel like the highest sold poster at that time was like of a Lamborghini.
Yeah.
It's Farrah Fawcett's red swimsuit poster.
Oh, fuck you. Fuck you.
Wait,
fuck
that
you,
is, that
you,
is the highest sold poster?
Farrah Fawcett and the best-selling swimsuit poster.
Okay. It's not like you Googled and Google's like, what are you even talking about?
The Farrah Fawcett.
That on. Is what Sally's hair is in the first scene. So what year was that poster?
With 76.
And this is 77. So that was what they were doing.
This one right here?
I gotta say.
Oh, yeah, that hair's not like that. I was thinking that she had wings.
You got wrong. You got the wrong hair, bro.
You were right about it being the best-selling poster to date. You were right about that. I'll give you that.
Dude, Don't fuck with Kevin when it comes to poster.
When it comes to,
I will say this: we were not wrong in saying that you constantly make outrageous claims. That was true.
Totally. Totally.
And you told me that one time in like a heart to heart moment, you were like, I mean, half the time I just say stuff and I don't know that it's true.
You say that, then you just apologize later, pull back a little bit.
Exactly.
That's how you hot take 101.
That's
hot
why we're sitting here and not in the Bradshaw Boys studio.
Yeah.
That's why we had to move all the equipment.
That's why on my first date, where when I get all the books, I just come back with one book.
Yeah.
What, The Art of the Deal?
Art of the Deal, baby.
Art of the Deal. Or Mein Kampf. Then we just talk history.
Exactly.
Just, I want to talk about World War II. Okay. So she, yes. So she, what is her, his, she thinks they can be friends, right? Cause his is like, he's the one that puts this
more just like, she just like, has never heard that before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's just more contemplative of like,
yeah.
What? Like, it's the first time. It seems to me this is like the first time she's explored the thoughts of a guy's brain.
Yeah.
Even at dinner, he's like, you've never had sex, like, you've never done this. Like, this is what guys want.
Yeah.
This is what guys think about.
Right.
Airplane. He's like, guys only want to hold you for 30 seconds.
Yeah.
You want to be held all night. That's your problem.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's just like, he is obnoxious and crass and obtuse, but telling her things that some guys think about.
She hasn't had good sex. And then she walks in the thing. She's like, I have had good sex
with Sheldon.
Everyone turns around.
He roasts Sheldon really hard.
He brings Sheldon the task.
Did she have sex with young Sheldon?
Yeah, that's fucked up. We need to cancel her.
Yeah, for real.
Best selling poster of all time.
Her and young Sheldon. Pornographic pictures.
I mean, I guess I agree with her. I agree with both their assessments because I do think a lot of people. I mean, isn't this kind of a story of like going from like the physical to companionship and like learning that through like a cosmopolitan way that it's just like that you end up with these people that just stick around in your life and are there and you learn the deeper things about them rather than just the superficial.
Mm-hmm.
Because even like when you learn, when you meet, I went to Fringe Edinburgh like the first year and then I stayed at this person's house after and I hung out with one of their friends and we hung out for like 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Like just me and her for 2 hours. We went out and went to like a bar or something and that was like the only time we met. And then when I saw her like 2 years later at Fringe, she didn't remember me and she was just like, she's like, no. And I was like, yeah, I do. I literally, your phone, you're in my phone.
Yeah.
She's like, no, I don't. And then I showed her the text. She's like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. And there was like a coldness to her that was like, I've flirted with guys before. Like I'm not. Mm. And then, but then since then we've talked on like WhatsApp and like I've seen her since then. And it was funny because that first time, I think I was probably being pretty like flirtatious with her. Mm-hmm. Like, and
it's so funny because probably in your mind, you like had staked it out.
Yeah.
You're just like, this is happening. In her mind, she's like, this isn't happening.
Yeah.
And so it was just vapor in her mind where you were like, this was a failed hunt.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Like the one that got away.
Yeah. And I like remembered it. And then when I saw her the second time, it was so funny after
the drums, the drums of battle started up again.
I will get the kill. So, but then the second,
no, I've never seen you. Never met you.
I'm like, really? I mean, it was definitely very Billy Crystal, like in this thing. It was just like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like getting your phone out. But then the turn when it was like, oh, I'm so sorry. And then you know this person on a deeper level. It's like, oh, okay. This isn't just a random flirting with me. This is like a guy that is friends with this person. And, you know, and so that is, interesting what's happening. They're like, they're learning more than is there a term or something for it? But it's like, you're not, when you tell a person who you are, that's only 1% of who you are.
Yeah.
Like you learn, get to know someone, not by them telling you, like on dates, you tell someone like, I'm into films and I like, and I do this and I run. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, that has nothing to do with what a person actually is. That's just what they do.
Right.
Yeah.
And so they're like learning who the people are.
I've never heard that before. That's really interesting.
I think I did. I make it up. I don't think I made it up. I heard it from someplace. I heard, dude, it was
take ownership of it.
It was written on the back of a Farrah Fawcett poster.
You're one for one with posters right now. Yeah, made that shit up.
Yeah, keep going.
Yeah.
So we're there
because you can't tell a person you're loyal. You can't be like, I'm a loyal person. Yeah. You experience loyalty.
That's true.
You know,
and that's kind of like the same thing when people tell you they're humble.
Who does
that? I've had people talk about that. Like, that's very awesome. Humble person. Trump says that. Trump said he's like the most humble person
after he made his hole in one.
Oh yeah.
I don't like people who brag.
Yeah, I don't like people who brag.
No, I think more often than not, when people describe themselves to, it is an inaccurate like projection of who they are and what they are.
Interesting.
I don't know. At least I think so.
Yeah.
How would you describe yourself? Fucking liar.
A liar. I don't know. I'd rather have someone else describe me than me describe myself.
Man, that's the king's gambit. Having someone else describe you. Having someone else describe you while you listen and you're not present.
Ooh.
And then you listen to it. That is yeesh. Yeah. That's what it's like being a ghost.
Yeah.
If you could monetize that, you could make it's like a different version of Facebook. The business is like true how the world truly sees you, and then you can access that. Like it would be great. Imagine if
that's like a movie right there.
Hear like what Corey and I are actually saying about you, and like you could know what people say about you when you're not there. That would be an insane.
I mean, if there's like more of a premise than that, it's like a Black Mirror type thing.
Yeah, yeah. Totally.
Because it's like,
yes,
because absolutely. That's the thing that it's like, it could help you in some ways. And in other ways, it's like, we're not meant to. We're not meant to know, because part of like sometimes processing a thing, like, you know, like not all communication is meant for everyone.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like I talk to my mom differently than I talk to other people. And like, I could talk shit on my sisters, and my mom's like, that'd be different if I was just talking shit on my sisters to a random person. You know what I mean? Like sometimes you need to be able to like
a random person on the subway. You know what really bugs me about my sisters?
Yeah. Yeah. Fucking pay me back, bitch. Like, yeah. All right. But yeah, no, like, yeah. So that'd be tough.
That'd be real tough. Yeah.
I'm really enjoying this movie so far.
I think that
I didn't know what to expect. This movie obviously was the most hyped movie we've ever done. I think this is the most hyped movie I've ever watched. But I'm really enjoying it. I'm right there for the ride. I'm connected to the characters. I like him. I like the changes we've already seen in him. Mm-hmm. I really like her character a lot. It's been humorous at times. I'm fully on board and support that this movie is in romantic comedy Rushmore.
The pantheon so far.
Yeah.
Also, the stories we have so far are someone that this one guy is, it's all older couples. So it's like all old people who have experienced the conveyor belt of love and experience.
Yeah.
You know, so it's all old people that get to be like, you know, this is the unconventional. And the last one that they had was a guy that was like, we got married and then we got divorced. And then I was with Barbara and she's like, no, then it was, and he got married and divorced from like three other people. Uh-huh. It's like, and then we were at like, you know, Harry Conklin's funeral and I saw her. And it was 35 years to the day.
Yeah.
I said, let's go out and get lunch. And it was 35 years to the day we got married again.
Yeah.
But she doesn't seem, it wasn't as cute. Like she didn't seem like in love. She seemed kind of annoyed with him.
Yeah.
I think because he's never remembering anything. She's like, no, it was this.
Yeah. So it was just interesting because that was the one that one was like, not as cute. It was like, it's, I feel like it stung her a little bit more when he divorced her and then married four other women in between.
Yeah.
I feel like she carries some resentment about that.
No, you don't say.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, that was part one.
Part one of When Harry Met Sally.
And if you want to hear part two or three, it's on our Patreon. So go sign up for our Patreon.
Yeah. Be a pal.
We watch other movies on there. Double your Bradshaw Boys content.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, go sign up for our Patreon at The Bradshaw Boys. Patreon.com/The Bradshaw Boys.
That's mm-hmm. right. That's right.
And yeah, we also have an OnlyFans, mm-hmm. but that's we don't do any nudes.
No.
Mm-hmm.
It's just selfies. It's just like selfies of her face smiling.
Every day, Kevin rotates 1 degree. And you can just see his full 360 degrees of his crown of his hair.
Yeah, but we're going to add to our OnlyFans pictures of us with a puff.
Yeah.
With a crystal puff.
Only puffs.
Yeah, only puffs.
Only puffs.
All right. All right. Well,
thanks, family. Thanks,
later, taters.
Later, taters.
The Bradshaw Boys stars Corey Cabin, Kevin James Doyle, and John Sieber. The show is produced by me, Jeremy Balin, and narrated by Katie Sieber. This podcast is part of the Seltzer Kings Network. Check out all their great podcasts at seltzerkings.com. You can find the boys on their socials at The Bradshaw Boys or on their website at bradshawboys.com. And as always, if you see them in the street, tip your glass. Thanks for listening.